This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Kate Sommerfeld. Kate is the president of Social Determinants of Health at ProMedica. ProMedica is one of the first organizations to have somebody in such a role. Thrilled to talk to Kate about that role and what she's doing and more today. Kate, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hi, Scott. Thanks so much for having us on. Really thrilled to be with you today. So I get the privilege to lead our Social Determinants of Health Institute. And so what that focuses on are all the non-clinical aspects that impact the health and well-being of individuals. So we know research tells us anywhere between 40 to 60% of someone's health are determined by non-clinical factors, things that healthcare traditionally hasn't touched, like healthcare, workforce and housing and food. And so the Institute is focused on addressing all those non-clinical factors that impact the health and well-being of individuals and communities.
And are there a lot of systems that have created such a role? Is that a newer role? What's your sense of what's going on throughout the country in terms of that role?
Yeah, it's been so interesting. So I came into my position almost 2.5 years ago, and at the time we actually did a landscape look at all the different roles within health systems. And I think our system was the first organization to actually create a president of social determinants of health. There's certainly a lot of folks doing community benefit work and government relations and some community population health work. But I think we had the privilege of actually starting and having that first role. It's been certainly a trend. So we're seeing more and more health systems, and interestingly enough, both departments of health at both the Medicaid state level, but even Ohio Department of Health, along with other payers, starting to create this role. So it definitely tends to be and seems to be a trend. Certainly more and more systems are starting to identify leaders, executive leaders that are focused on social determinants.
And can you take a moment and tell us about, in the role, what is the role? What do you do? What's where does the rubber hit the road in terms of the role and the responsibility and how you try and impact things in the ProMedica communities and broader?
Yeah, that's a great question, Scott. So we take an inside-outside approach. So inside, ProMedica is a health and well-being organization. And so we have an acute care business. We have 14 hospitals. We have a provider arm. We have an insurance arm. And then we have a post-acute business as well that has expands about 28 states. And so internally, we work with our various business lines, again, on the provider side, on the acute side, on the insurance side, and the post-acute business to help them really reimagine how they do care delivery, to include social and economic factors in how they deliver care. So if someone were to come into the doctor's office or a member on our insurance plan, really understanding the needs around housing and food for those members or patients, helping to identify those individuals with the right resources and measure that impact over time. So inside, it's supporting our internal functions across our business lines to help embed social determinants both into their care delivery model, but also into our payment model as well. So how are we doing value-based contracting and care? On the insurance side, how do we think about supporting things like food and financial coaching? And so really exciting work there. And then externally, we do a lot of different work. So we are consulting, so we provide supports to actually other health systems that are interested in supporting and starting to do social determinant work. It's a fairly new field. And so working with quite a few different health systems to think about their strategy. How do they get leadership buy-in? We also work across communities. So we're working across the country to scale different interventions and provide that support across the country. And then most recently, we're really active with employers. So helping employers figure out how they can address the social and economic factors that impact their employee populations. And so definitely a new trend in health and well-being with employers, but doing a lot there as well.
Fantastic. And thank you. When you look at this year coming up, you've got these various different social determinants of health. And why don't I stop for a second before we go further, talk about when you think of social determinants of health, talk about what you think of as the 3 to 5 most impactful in terms of healthcare. You think in that way.
Yeah, so I think there's a real opportunity. By and large, what we're seeing in the industry is both from payers, providers, really a recognition that social and economic factors play a really important role in health and well-being. It is a care gap, and as a provider or a payer, we've got to close that care gap. We have to understand the need, and we've got to provide the right supports. And so I think, you know, again, there's really been an industry shift to understand the importance of that work. I also, though, think there's got to be a lot more proof points, more data points to say when you address, as an example, food insecurity in a diabetic patient, what's the impact on cost, on utilization, on health outcomes? And so really having more robust data sets and proof points to make the case on why social determinants are so important and how that fits into the payment model is going to be increasingly important. We have a data analytics arm and a partner through Socially Determined that we work on to make sure that we're really capturing the impact of what social determinants has in terms of cost and outcome. So I think those data points, continuing to make the case, building the evidence base on how social determinants impact health and how that plays in the overall scheme of care delivery and payment model is really important. I think there's also really a need to scale interventions. And so what we're seeing across the country, you know, a lot of great work happening, but it's fairly fragmented. You know, if you're going into one market and you need a housing solution, maybe for a homeless or a risk of housing population, it's very different than any other market and solution across the country. And so we're working through the ProMedica Impact Fund to scale interventions to have more of a consistent, standardized set of interventions that can be deployed. So if you're in Chicago and you have a patient that has a housing need, that same type of intervention, the data and metrics can be collected in the Chicago market as Baltimore, as an example. And so really think as an industry, we have to figure out how do we standardize and scale the interventions. And then third, just a real opportunity around the employer, you know, more and more, especially with COVID, you know, we're seeing more and more employee populations and employees needing housing supports and food supports. And there continues to be a real struggle for employers there. And so we are excited. We'll be announcing actually a partnership with Kamanu, which is a startup company around purpose at the Ann Arbor market. And so we'll be entering the employer market in partnership with Kamanu to create a digital and service-based solution to serve employee populations around social and economic factors. So a lot happening in the industry, certainly a really big shift, but that proof point, building the evidence base, scaling interventions, and then the employer space seems to be really the three areas that the industry, where there's huge opportunity.
Well, your point on scaling interventions is so critical, and the ability to do that, if it can be done, is so important, because there's such a vast amount of the population that really is impacted by all these issues and needs help. Let me ask you another question, Kate. How did you end up in this role? What was your journey to leadership? Tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you ended up here.
Yeah, thanks so much, Scott. I think I certainly would not have imagined I would have the opportunity I have, and so have been really, really fortunate and blessed and lucky in some ways as well. So I actually started my career not clinically based, but actually in the nonprofit setting. So I worked in community foundations and in the United Way system and did the type of work around housing and education and around food. And so spent the majority of my career working with nonprofit partners and trying to support those efforts. And so about 5 years ago, got the opportunity to join ProMedica as our CEO, Randy Ostra, you know, really made a commitment to say the long-term trajectory of healthcare is broken and we've got to think differently. We have to think more holistically about that. And originally we started by opening up a grocery store. So, you know, talk about innovation, a health system opening a grocery store. And so had the privilege to join the ProMedica team then. And started again just building a grocery store and working with community partners, and this work has evolved and grown across time. And so just really fortunate and privileged. I think, you know, healthcare obviously really dynamic space, lots of innovation happening. You know, where we are today certainly will be much different than where we are in the next 12 months. And so just a really exciting time to be on the front edge and innovating within the healthcare space.
as social determinants have taken a bigger and bigger focal point and focus of people, and people really understanding that it's so important to actually people's ultimate health and their ultimate outcomes, the things that come before being in the health system, is there a bridge too far, or is this going to become a huge part of health systems? You see health systems. You mentioned ProMedica opening a grocery store, presumably in a food desert or someplace where access to food, just the basics, was more challenging. You have other systems investing in housing. At what point do you blur that line between government and healthcare institutions, and what healthcare institutions can take on and what they can do? Any thoughts on that? Because you must think about those issues a lot.
Yeah, that's a great question, and certainly, lots of debate nationally happening in this space. I think our perspective is that, we have to be in the business of health and well-being, right? And if we're focused on making sure that our patients, our members, our communities are healthier, then we should be focused on the things that drive health. And, there are certainly things within a doctor's office or within a hospital setting that drive health, and the clinical care is important, but more and more recently, research is showing and telling us that that's simply just not enough, And so one of the things that we've been able to do is measure the impact of these interventions over time. And so as an example, for individuals that are food insecure, we write a script for food. So we prescribe food as medicine, just like we would prescribe an MRI or a medication. And we actually show a 15% reduction in per member per month cost. On the financial side, we deploy financial coaches, and these coaches help individuals who are struggling with their finances. So everything from folks that might be, need their taxes done, to they might be wrapped up in predatory lending, to they need stable employment. And so we have a financial coaching program. And what we've been able to see through that is a real result of reduction on cost and improvement in utilization and connection back to primary care. And so it's those type of data points and proof points that we're then able to say, hey, you know what? Food, financial coaching, housing, there is a direct link to health. And if we're in the business of health, we absolutely should be focused on that. And I think from a payer perspective, what we are seeing is more and more payers are understanding that connection. And when you have the hard data to say, hey, it's a better investment to invest in housing, as an example, then maybe have someone cycle in and out of the emergency room, it's really a compelling case, and payers are really jumping in. So I think, again, we've got to be in the business of health and well-being, and that really is tackling both the clinical care, historically what healthcare has been focused on, but also the drivers of health and well-being as well.
Well, just fascinating. And Kate, one final question. Where can people learn more about what you have at ProMedica on social determinants of health, the Institute? Where can people learn more about this?
Yeah, that's great. We've got a couple of different avenues. So ProMedica.org would be a great resource. We have a social determinant of health, the Institute pages there. We're very also active on all the social media platforms. So Twitter and LinkedIn, and both from the ProMedica and then my own profile around Kate Sommerfeld as well. We do a lot of thought leadership and a lot of share on the different work. So both ProMedica.org, you can just Google that, the Social Determinant of Health Institute, and then also would love folks to follow or connect on LinkedIn with me directly. Would love to engage in some conversation there.
Well, fantastic. What a great pleasure to visit you, Kate. Fascinating what you're doing, fascinating what ProMedica does as a whole, and just a pleasure to visit with you today. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Scott. Talk soon.